standing up because my back's getting sore from sitting around so long this morning. Anyway, this week I had a run-in with a self-help author on Friday afternoon. I want to tell you about it. Friday afternoon, I received an email out of the blue from one Christy Ray Harrison on behalf of Jeff P. Davidson. Now, this guy writes how-to books. He's written almost 60 of them, and she's his intern. Now, I got to tell you, I live in a nice neighborhood, and I'm not used to being threatened. So I found the tone of this letter very, very belligerent. It said, essentially, I'm going to attack you. Can you imagine, out of the blue, I get a letter that says, I'm going to attack you from a stranger. And why was he going to attack me? Listen, I got a group blog. It's called recruitingbloggers.com. And in December 2007, the Money Honey published the paragraph headings from an article on another site, the paragraph headings, and she didn't even claim them as her own, and she linked back to the source. 2 years later, I get a letter that reads, "This is complete piracy of my material, and this is your final opportunity to delete the material, which you have no right to use. You have until the end of Monday, April 5th, to take this material down, or I will sue." Final opportunity? Doesn't that suggest we've had a previous contact and that I refused to do the right thing? When in fact, I checked out the posting, it was so meaningless that I just deleted it right away. I didn't care about it. And I kind of sympathized with the guy, except that he sent me a threat. I said to myself, he plays hardball. So I told his intern that maybe she should think twice next time about being her boss's hatchet man, probably for free, because I intend to write about your letter to me, I said, and it's surely going to show up on Google with your name attached and your LinkedIn profile and your picture. Well, that got her boss into the show. He wrote me more threats. He said, quote my staff person's letter to you or my letter to you at your own risk. You have been advised. So I wrote back, come and get me, Jeffrey. You send me unsolicited mail and I can't reproduce it? Sorry, buddy, you're making a fool of yourself. So then he phones me. He left me a long voicemail. He said, oh, okay, I'll give you permission to publish my threats as long as you give me a chance to publish a rejoinder. I said, you want to put something on my blog? That's fine with me, but I don't need your permission to do anything. So then he was back with the email talking to me about plagiarism. Yeah, she publishes a table of contents. And the guy's going on and on. And you want to hear something funny? He's got a video online called Living Less Frantically. And he's wasting his time fighting with me about that. Something I already turned down. Took down. Anyway, Jeffrey, if you're listening, take a relax. Leave me alone. Don't call. Don't write. Don't send any pictures. I don't want to hear from you anymore. Now, I'm going to turn my attention to my guest for today. Her name is Jessica Miller Merrill, which is a very poetic-sounding name, but it's just too long and too hard to spell, so I call her, in my own mind, Jessica M&M, and you can too. She's the author of a small book for small business called Tweet This. I'm sure she's going to correct me that I'm not saying it the way she wants me to, but Jerry, can you tell me what show is she on?
The Recruiting Animal.
Jessica Miller Merrill, are you there?
I am.
You know what? Jerry isn't really here, I have to tell you. He's in court for jury duty, and I played a tape, but I started it too early. And I went on so long about that dumb author, you know. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
They should be scared. They should be afraid.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. You know what? Mad Consulting, I don't know if you follow her, but she's a regular correspondent of mine on Twitter. She said that I should solve that problem by putting a little more love in my heart, right? There's an echo. Love is the killer app. That's what she said. But don't you agree with me that the wish for love separated from self-defense is a free ticket to a beating?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Absolutely true. Jeff, I hope you're hearing that because it's going to be on my blog. I just got to tell everybody something. If you search Christy Rae Harrison, see what comes up second. Okay, if you're an intern and you don't have tons of stuff on the net already, like your boss does, you're going to get whacked if you do his dirty work. That's true, isn't it, Jessica?
It's all about brand. And
yeah, because – go ahead. No, you go ahead.
What the hell is he sending an intern to do his job? That just seems really spineless.
Yeah, he's spineless. Okay, well, maybe we'll get sued for that. What's your elevator speech?
My elevator speech? About the book?
No. You don't have an elevator speech. Answer to the question. Okay, it's Jerry. You know what? I don't know if it's true, but Maha Akiki wrote on Facebook that it's Jerry Albright's birthday. He's not here, but we're going to sing him a song. We can't confirm that it's his birthday.
What song?
You know, what song? Happy birthday!
Okay, just checking. I know the words to this one.
Yeah, everybody else in, happy birthday for Jerry. Come on, nobody can. You know what? Jerry's not here. Maureen's not here. But maybe
I'm
Janice
here.
Is here. Janice, is that Rayanne?
I'm
no,
here.
And yeah. Janice.
Jeremy's here.
Janice. Okay, Jerry, you guys can all sing. We're going to sing. Okay.
Blake's here.
Okay.
Hi, Blake.
Blake, you going to sing for Jerry?
I will.
Okay, let's go. Happy
birthday
to you.
Happy
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Jerry. Happy birthday to you.
We are all here.
He'll get to listen to that in the trial. He's happy. You know, most people want to get out of jury duty, but he thinks it's an honor. And that's where
it is his birthday.
Duty.
It is his birthday. Great.
Yeah.
So we got it. Okay, Jessica. You know what? I listened to a webinar from my good friend Donato Di Oreo.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the cookie. And he's from broadlook.com. And he likes to call himself, he said, the sales leads guy because, you know, that's a good handle. He thinks it makes him stickier, easier to remember. Do you have a sticky handle?
I do. It's my Twitter name. It's Blogging for Jobs.
So if you leave a message, do you say it's Jessica Miller Merrill, the Blogging for Jobs girl?
Yes. If we talk on the phone, I'm going to tell you I'm Jessica with Blogging for Jobs because it is much easier to say than the hyphenation.
Why don't you just say Jessica with the hair?
I can say that too. Sometimes that works.
Because you've got hair that it's deliberately branded that way. Am I right?
Yeah. I can't make it good. If I did it straight, no one would recognize me.
Okay. Now, is there anybody online today, your chance to speak for all the chicken-type people, who does not know Jessica and has never visited her blog?
So visit it, bloggingforjobs.com.
No. You took it away. I wanted to see if they know how to spell the name for your blog, because I don't agree that you've got a good name for your blog. She's got her blog as Blogging for Jobs, numeral 4. How do you convey that in a voicemail message? You have to say numeral 4. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, that's not good. Now, I know you posted on your blog that you tried to get blogging FOR jobs, but you couldn't get it. It was taken already. You said, but I'm happy I had to choose the numeral. I don't think you should be happy about that. Why are you happy?
It's different. It rolls off the tongue well. So.
No, it's hard to say. It's hard to say in a way that they'll know how to spell it. The same with your other URL, Exceptional HR. Can anyone here spell Exceptional HR? I already gave you all kinds of hints that it's not going to be straightforward.
Oh, it's got an X in the front of it, doesn't it?
Right. What's the point of that? I don't get it. Jessica, you want to explain it to us?
I don't get you either. Well, I mean, I'm just trying to find different ways to be creative.
Hard
so
to understand.
You don't get it.
Different
you don't
ways
get it.
To be hard to understand.
No,
to
be, it
make it
memorable.
Hard to put your message across.
No, it makes her memorable.
Okay, great. Okay,
what site do you suggest that we use?
I'll buy it now and move everything over. Okay, no, I think things should be just like they sound. If you can't get Blogging for Jobs, pick 10 Cherry Street. That's easy. Everybody assumes 10 is a numeral, okay? Not Blogging for Jobs when they think 4 is a word, not a number, okay? That's what
no
I
problem.
Mean.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Now, you said... Does anybody want to say anything to Jessica before I continue?
You're on a roll.
Good luck.
Now, Jessica, you said being a blogger has been the best and most important career decision I made. And then you gave your excuses for saying that. You said you got special blogger status at the South by Southwest conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
They charged your laptop and your iPhone, and they gave you beer and breakfast and some other free stuff. So how do you do that? If you're going to a conference and you're a blogger, how do you get the freebies?
Well, South by Southwest is a little bit different because it's kind of a blogger conference. They have a special area, so you just have to do your research and know where to go. But as a blogger, you can get in free to any conference as a member of media. I do that all the time.
Yeah, but you just told us that it's a blogger conference. Everybody there was a blogger, right?
Not everybody. I mean, there were a lot of bloggers, but there are also a lot of iPhone developers and different folks that couldn't get into the blogger area. But there was beer, books.
Which other conferences have let you in as a blogger for free? Do you want to tell us? You don't have to. You don't want to spoil it for yourself if everybody else does the same thing.
Mostly just regional conferences here in Oklahoma, Kansas, and Texas.
Okay. So you're advising other bloggers, though, if they go to small things, not big things, that they should ask for free access in return for blogging about it?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, save some money, and then you get access to the press room.
And how do you say that to them? Who do you call?
I just call the PR person or whoever is the chair of the conference and just say, hey, I'm blogging for jobs. I have a blog. It's relevant to this. Would you be interested in letting me cover it as media?
For free. When do you say the word for free? I don't want to pay.
I've never said I didn't want to pay. They tell me, yeah, let me send you a coupon. We'll get
okay,
you set up.
So you don't have to, you know, the stuff like I don't want to pay you, you don't even have to say that. Is that right?
Yeah.
And they never say you have to pay to come, right?
Agreed. I haven't had to pay yet.
Okay. Okay. Now, you know what? You said you other thing you said about your blog. You said, we haven't told anyone who you are yet because you didn't have a good elevator speech, but I'll tell them.
Go ahead.
I'll tell them. Her blog is called Blogging for Jobs, and for right now, that's a job hunter's blog. Am I right about that, Jessica?
That's how it started, yes.
Okay. But now you're saying, you said, you know, being a blogger, you've made lifelong friendships with people like Trish McFarlane, Steve Bowes, mm-hmm. Jennifer Miller, Jeff Webb, Brian Wempen, over the last year. You've only known these people less than a year. How can they be your lifelong friends? Are you just like the optimistic type?
I'm a little optimistic, but I probably know these people better than I know my best friends because I can see and read about their entire lives and what's happening through social media.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
There's
now
something sad about that.
But it's not
necessarily. Janice,
I don't agree.
At
all.
Yeah, can
I
tell you why I say that? Because
Go ahead, Janice, exec job coach, at exec job coach. Go ahead.
You. Because it means maybe we're not spending enough time outside. I'm guilty of the same thing, by the way. If we're making lifelong friends, sitting behind a screen.
Go mobile. Come on, Janice. Go mobile.
You know, I'm gonna comment on that. I won't go on it too long. But if you read someone's blog, they're just putting it out there every day in an easy-to-access way. Your friends, unless you're going to school with them, you don't see them every day. And you really, you know what? They're not that interesting. So at least
good
the bloggers,
point.
they go out of the way to say something interesting. Yeah, you ask your friends, what's new? Nothing. These guys are trying to be interesting. They're trying to sell themselves and make money off being interesting. That's the difference.
Well,
okay.
Common purpose,
but,
too.
Yeah, okay. But you say, Jessica, still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I don't know. Am I boring today? I don't feel like I got my verve. I don't know what's wrong. But you say, I enjoy writing and being a thought leader in my industry. Then you say about those friends, we are thought leaders in the industry. Like, how do you know you're a thought leader? Is there a way to measure it?
No.
That's a good question. I'd like to know that, too.
I mean, do you label yourself a thought leader? I mean, that seems kind of,
You're under the gun now.
Right?
You're under the gun. Fess up.
It's a good – I don't know how you label yourself. I just like to think I'm different than most HR/hybrid recruiter people. I write about a lot of different things, and I'm not afraid to put my ass out there.
I don't know if you should put it that way.
She
okay.
can't say that.
Well, she can say it, but
I
don't
it?
Know if it's flattering. I mean, your neck is maybe a better the better part of the body to use. But...
Stick your neck out there.
How is it that she's different from all the rest of us?
Well, but first, thanks. That's Jerry Jeff. Jeff, hold on. I want to ask her before we go into that. That is the next question, but are you a visionary as well?
I'd like to think so.
Now answer his question. How are you different? What makes you those things?
What makes me those things? Well, some of the new projects that I'm working on and the fact that I've been blogging for almost 4 years. I'm not a new person to the field.
Yeah, so that makes you a thought leader? I mean, like, I've been blogging. I'm not a thought leader.
Well, what are these new projects? Fill us in.
No, she's going to tell us about the new projects in a second. I want to know how she's a thought leader just on the basis of the blogging before the new projects. Now, I know what you said. You said other people in HR don't know anything about social media, and you do. I find that hard to believe.
HR people are slow to adapt. It's true. I mean, are you guys with me, or what do you guys think?
I don't know. I don't know that many HR people. Is any HR people here on the line?
No. Silence. See, that's
okay,
that's
well, this is a recruiter show. It's a recruiter show. So you're saying HR people are stick in the mud. Is that fair?
Some.
Behind the times. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not very interested in new things. Is that fair?
They're pretty much interested in their own stuff, which is HR.
In the past, they're looking backwards, or they're stuck in the present. They're not looking around the corner like you are. Is that what you're saying, Jessica?
That's what I'm trying to say, Animal.
Okay, just wanted you to spell it out. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Now, you know, Jerry Jeff is doing all the work for me. What other new things? I know you released something yesterday. You want to tell us about it?
It's texting for jobs. It's a
texting.
Message.
Say it slow. Say it slow, dear.
Texting for
numeral four.
Jobs.
Numeral
yes.
four. See, we don't know that, right?
Yes, texting for numeral four jobs.
Yeah.
Text message-based job notification system is essentially. You just get job alerts via text.
So how do people register for that?
They would text 67664. They'd text in the words T for J for texting for jobs, the number four, and then they would sign up for alerts.
And what are you going to send them? How do they select which alerts they want to get, and what are you going to be sending them?
They pick their city, they pick their industry, and then they'll get no more than 5 alerts a week.
Okay, and what do you do? Have an RRS, essentially, feeding them jobs from, like, Indeed.com or something like that, or is that secret?
We have a mobile platform that does it all for us. So it's a little bit we don't go from Indeed. It's not jobs that are necessarily published online. It's more local, geolocal, hyper-local kind of things to the area.
And are you going to make money off this?
I'm hoping, yeah. I mean, we're going to be charging the companies as an alternative to a job board or the newspaper to post.
Uh-huh. And why would a company use your service?
It's more targeted. They're actually active job seekers, and text messages are read more often than direct mail, email, things like that. 94% of text messages are read.
How soon is Animal rebranding Toys R Us? I heard their stock's going down, baby. I'm just reading from Twitter. Thank you, Resume Strategy. Okay, is there anything else you want to say about that, or does anyone want to comment on that? Is that really ahead of the curve or whatever? You know, people say I don't give a chance, but, you know, there's a dead silence when I do. Like, you were – hold on a second. You were interviewed. This was something else I saw on your blog. You said, Glamour magazine called to interview me, which led to several other new opportunities. I had arrived. What does that mean? I had arrived. What does that mean?
All the hard work, doing the work, the blogging, somebody noticed, and it was somebody like Glamour magazine, which, you know, gets read a little bit. They have a good readership and publication.
Well, what did they want to talk to you about?
They talked about creative job search strategies based on a blog post that I had written.
Mm-hmm. And who found that, an intern?
No, an actual writer from Glamour called me, yeah. Google search found me.
And what month was that in? If we want to check it, look it up, where will we find that?
August of last year.
August of last year, and your life has just catapulted to new heights since then. Is that right?
Well, it certainly ups your brand if you can say that you've been published in a major publication. I mean, it's a magazine that says lipsticks and shoes, so, I mean, it's not like I'm in, The Economist, but it works.
You know what? I would like to be in a magazine that sells lipstick and shoes, but I don't think it would make any big difference on my eventual future. Anyway, listen, a red man lives in a red house, a blue man lives in a blue house, a green man lives in the green house. Who lives in the White House?
The president.
Ah, that's for your kid. I know you got a little kid.
Yeah, I do.
That's for your kid. Okay.
Aw, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Now, listen, speaking of websites, okay? There was an interesting event this morning I think everybody should take note of. I think it's a friend of the Minnesota headhunter, MN headhunter. The guy's got a woman, I don't know, has a blog called Recovering Procrastinator. he or she went out, applied for a company. The company wanted to see them, set up the interview. Then they saw the blog, which was actually listed on the person's resume. I don't know if they came at it that way. And they called back and said, we don't want to see you anymore because of the title. And this person, I'm going to assume it's a he, he's whining because they don't want to see him. They didn't read his blog, just the title. Didn't the title tell you enough? I think he's stupid, don't you?
I agree. It's no different than the person that has the I Hate HR blog. I mean, it just is negative.
I Hate HR. Is that a job hunter's blog or just someone who's actually working in HR or something like
somebody
that?
Somebody working in HR and the company that she was representing.
Might be kind of funny. Yeah,
yeah.
It might be kind of funny.
I don't know.
But if you put up there that you used to be a procrastinator, you know, I don't know. Anybody else got a comment on that, recovering procrastinator?
Kind of funny.
You know what? I got to tell you, you got a dead crowd here today. Okay.
Yeah. Well, come on, let's spice
We're
it
listening.
Up.
We're
yeah.
Listening.
Okay.
We got a
okay.
tweet from Paul Paris that says
what's
that everything I just lost it, but everything that Jessica is talking about, Animal, everything your guest looks to be paid for in her books is on Google for free, including texting for jobs, which I think is a cool concept, by the way, Jessica.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Everything, what did he say? Everything that
everything
she has in
her guest looks to be paid for in her books is on Google for free.
Yeah, but you know what, Paul Paris? Well, I was going to quote Paul Paris in a minute, but now I'll get to him early. You know what? The people aren't smart enough to look it up. They need someone else
lazy.
To look it all up and put it in a package and explain it
they
simply.
They are lazy.
Well, it's not just lazy. It takes time. She pre-digests it for them. That's what blogging is all about in a lot of ways, too. I surf the net so you don't have to. I look at all kinds of garbage and pick out the good stuff so you don't have to go through it all. Paul.
No different than a blog talk radio show or a website.
Yeah, well, so anyway. But listen, Paul Paris said that on the Animal Show, or he says the Animal Show is the only place where the guest never gets to say anything. But that's not true, because on your TV show or whatever it's called, your video show, the guest never gets to talk there either. You introduce little Timmy Tyrell, Tammy Coulson, Debbie J. Brown. I've gone there for all of them, and the only person who ever gets to talk is you. You do a great job,
it's
but
a great
I have to
show.
Ask. I have to ask, do you deliberately sabotage your guests? Because they come on and their stuff never works. Their mic never works. Their video conks out.
You weren't on last Sunday, though, because I had a guest and everything works. You missed it. Where were you?
I don't know. I guess I got turned off by all the times they didn't work. Or maybe I was just busy on a Sunday night, okay?
Yeah,
it
would be.
Pot and kettle, boy. Pot and kettle. Whew.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, that's what I said. He said, on this show, you don't get to talk. But look, I've given so many opportunities for people to say something. Jessica, you want to say something? Is there something that I haven't mentioned at this point that you think is urgent for people to know?
No, you're doing a good job. I wish you'd do some more yelling and screaming, though. This is kind of a, you know, it's a little new side
it's
to you I've
dead.
Never seen before.
I don't know. I'm doing my best. I'm sorry. Okay, here's something else.
Jerry. I think Jerry not being here is throwing him off.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I got lots of bad days with Jerry here, too. Here's something else, though. Your LinkedIn headline?
Yeah.
It's bad. Your LinkedIn headline equals bad. This is what it says. Author who helps human resources integrate social media. What's that selling? Who's that going to appeal to? Is that searchable? I mean, what's that about?
It's
author
heading.
Who helps human resources integrate social media. You're trying to get everything else. It's a kitchen sink headline.
That's what I am, the kitchen sink.
Well, then you should put in there the kitchen sink of HR or something like that. This is no good. Does anybody think it's good? Anybody with a brain?
Well, in HR, we don't hire kitchen sinks, do we? I mean, we try and get specialists, right?
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, I think when you start something with the word author, that's what you want people to know you are. The first thing you say is what everything gets framed around. So was that your intention?
Yes. It
okay.
changes about once a week, so it'll change in a few days.
Oh, you change
I want
it? Why is that? Why do you
because
change it all the time?
Because it updates and it shows that I've updated my profile.
It puts
and
you at the top
other
of the list of anybody she's linked
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Yeah, you should be doing that once or twice a week.
You should change
Why?
Your status update every day.
Why?
Yep.
Why?
Because it puts you at the top. Anybody you're connected to, it puts you at the top of their list when they go to their homepage.
Is it more important to change your profile or to write down what are you doing now in the little box?
I rarely change my profile. I do my status update, though, every day.
Yeah, but what's the point?
Okay.
I mean, so you're in the top of my box. What's the point of that?
It keeps your – it's personal branding, Animal. You know that. Come on.
No, top of mind. Top of mind. It's no different than my email newsletter that goes out. Not everybody reads it, but they see it in their inbox and they think of it.
And they recognize her name. Now they know what blogging for jobs. If they see texting for jobs and it has a 4 in it, they know that it's Jessica.
Okay, somebody asked, why will texting for jobs work? Does the market suggest this is wanted? I think that's obvious. People are using their cell phones or mobile phones a lot. Everything's going
obvious.
To smartphone, right? Isn't that obvious?
That's obvious.
5 billion text messages this year already, or in 2010.
Now,
will companies pay for that? Will companies buy that?
Why wouldn't they? It's more targeted.
Do they need it?
If they're looking for hard-to-fill positions, I think so, and it's going
to
be
cheaper. Local people, they don't have to relocate. I mean, it is more targeted to local job seekers. As opposed to, a job board that anybody can reply to.
Okay, that's enough of an answer. That's enough. Queen Schmooz says she doesn't like your LinkedIn title either, but since you're changing it all the time, you're a bit of a chameleon there. Anybody else say anything here? I'm just looking at Twitter to see if there's anybody, saying anything.
So you're changing your LinkedIn title all the time, Jessica, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, we already said that. We already said that. Okay, now look. You know what part we're talking to? You got a book as well. Okay,
yeah.
Let's talk about the book. What's the book called?
Tweet This, Twitter for Business.
Tweet This, Twitter for Business is the subtitle. What's the URL?
TweetingMyBusiness.com.
TweetingMyBusiness.com. And you've also got a special name for it. I heard 100 times this morning on Twitter. Is that right?
Yeah, the Twitter is Tweeting This.
Yeah, what's the point of having, you've got blogging for jobs, you've got exceptional HR, now you've got at tweeting this. I mean, it just gets too confusing. You've also got JessicaMillerMerrill.com as well, right?
How's that any different than recruiting blogs and, the 15,000 websites and things that they manage?
What do you mean? They've got all kinds. So you're one person, and you want to be seen as a bunch of different people, essentially. Is that it?
Well, I mean, I want to control my brand, so that's why I have, my name secured so that somebody doesn't try to steal it. I've already had that happen on Twitter. Somebody has tried to pretend to be me.
Okay. So, look, I don't want to steal everything with your book, but there's a few things I want to talk about. I don't want to give away all the good stuff, but there's one thing I didn't like about it. You say, my husband Greg and I were pregnant with our first child. That's in the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wasn't pregnant. I don't like it when people say stuff like that. He was not pregnant. You were pregnant. Okay?
Sure.
Anybody else got a beef with that?
No.
Okay.
God.
No, it's true. Okay. Your husband's not pregnant. Okay,
yes,
now tell
us.
No, he wasn't. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, now what's the origin?
But you are telegraphing something when you say that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That's
kind of
like
bizarre.
That, it's a little
bizarre, Janice. I want to leave it, okay?
Okay.
It's origin of Twitter. You tell us about it. I didn't know it. I read it in your book. It's kind of interesting. Why don't you tell that story?
Oh, it's just they were started by a think tank organization that were just
What's
sitting around.
What's a think tank organization? Was the government paying their salaries?
No. It's just a startup that gets paid to sit around and to think of ideas. They just sit around all day. Wouldn't that be
paid.
Nice, Animal?
Who paid? Who paid
That's
for their salary?
Most
themselves.
Think tanks have a venture capitalist sitting behind them, hoping they come up with a great idea that makes them lots of money.
Okay. So they had the think tank, and what happened?
They came up with a text message-based notification system to let people know what was happening in their lives. And they decided to call it Twitter.
Text on. That's not what you said. You said it was made for telephone originally,
the
online. Okay. Can't you tell the story? I have to tell your story. Come on, that's how it always is.
Is texting done on a telephone, Animal? Come on.
Text
why,
message.
Why are you giving me a hard time?
Instant messaging.
Move on.
Okay.
Let's go.
No,
it was
a quick question.
No, wait a sec. I want to finish that. It was made for the phone, and it was called TWTTR, not Twitter. They didn't have any vowels in it. But SMS allows 160 characters.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to leave 20 for the sender's name. And that's how Twitter was invented. I did not know that. It's kind of an interesting story.
Oh,
thank
not?
You, Jessica. Who's that who wanted to say something?
This is Jeremy. I just wanted to ask what she's I'm on her LinkedIn profile. Your experience prior to 2003, it doesn't show anything. Did you not fill it in the rest of the way?
I haven't filled it in yet. No, I removed it, actually.
Why?
Oh, do we have to go into all this?
You're a branding expert. Yeah, you got it. You're a brand. You consider yourself a branding thought leader. Am I right about that?
Transparency, authenticity.
You can say the logic. You can say, I don't want to tell, but we'll know that there's some reason, and you thought it was worthwhile just to leave that stuff out. Okay?
Well, and the thing
you
is,
you weren't in prison, were you?
God, no.
You have a popular show on Sunday nights, for example, and someone that's looking to follow you and that's looking for credibility is only going to see a role here from 2003 to present.
Okay.
In
do you
HR.
Want to say or not? Do you want to
I
say
will,
or not?
I will. Yeah. No, I worked at Office Max. I was doing both, actually, as the HR director. And so Office Max had just been kind of a pain in the ass about the blogging and the web show. They just assumed that I was working for myself during work, which wasn't the case, which is one of the reasons I removed it.
Okay, but you're not there anymore, but we're going to get to that stuff.
You had an issue with – go ahead.
Tell the story about Irma's Burgers.
Irma's Burgers? Now we're going back to that? Okay.
It's your book. You want to promote right? This is in her book. What's the book's name again?
Tweet This, Twitter for Business.
And what's the URL?
TweetingMyBusiness.com.
Okay, good. Now tell
Irma's
about
Burgers.
Irma's Burgers, yeah.
It's a local burger joint here in Oklahoma City, and they, at the time, had about 200 followers, but they use Twitter to promote their specials, their daily Twitter special, and will sell it out in 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they started using Twitter a year ago, January 2009, right?
Yes. Yeah, they're new to Twitter.
But they're succeeding more than the average person, wouldn't you agree? Doesn't matter how new they are, right?
I know lots of shops in my area that do the same thing, like a
restaurant
yogurt shop that sells
well.
None of us. I don't know any of us who've succeeded like Irma's Burgers have. How can we – what's the lesson there for recruiters?
Put your job openings on. Tweet
Be
your
active.
Job openings.
I haven't heard of any great successes. That's Jerry's point all the time. Tell us about all the great successes. The most anyone says is one or two a year from Twitter. Okay? You know, these guys sell out every day at lunch. Come on. Is there any comparable success rate for recruiter compared to
Where
Irma's
is the downside in trying that?
We're not talking about that. Don't change the topic. I'm asking Jessica. She put it in her book.
Well, the price of a burger is $5. As a recruiter, third party, we're going to be
There's no
potentially
lesson there. That's what you're saying.
$18,000.
There's no lesson. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's a whole different market. We can take
Great. Thank you. Okay,
yeah,
now you also say the largest growth – we have to ask some Twitter stuff. You wrote a book on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. The largest growth for both these platforms – I don't know what both are, but Twitter, let's say, is from 35 to 50, not 18 to 34. Like, how come Twitter's for old people, and what do you have to do to be cool? Because obviously, if you want to recruit younger people, then you're on the wrong platform if you're using Twitter.
That's changed, though, in the last 6 months. More people are getting – older people are getting on Facebook, and younger people are getting on Twitter.
There's no – it's totally hard to predict. There's nothing cool about – you just don't know what's going on, right?
You just need to follow your trends and your numbers. Quantcast.com is a good place to follow what the average age, demographic, and salary is, so you can determine how and when you want to target it for recruiting.
So now what it means is everybody's on everything. Is that right?
It's getting that way, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Rich Becker. Do you know Rich Becker?
I do not.
Okay. He used to be on my group blog. A great guy, and he had a very interesting posting last week. It was classic Twitter advice. He said, "You don't have any ideas? No problem. Retweeting other people is called generosity." Perfect. He was being sarcastic, but I agree with it totally. You don't have to have any ideas. You can just copy other people's and, you know, be part of the conveyor belt. Is it right or wrong?
It's reciprocity. It's like telling somebody that they have a nice handbag
starting
the conversation.
Who answered that? Is that Jessica or is that Rayanne? I can't tell you apart.
It's me, Jessica.
Okay, Jessica. No. You don't have to have any ideas. You can just use other people's ideas, right?
As long as you give them credit, yeah.
Yeah, great. So you don't, you know, anybody says, "I have nothing to say," it doesn't matter. Is that right?
You can find something to say. Everybody has something to say. That's a lie.
They just have to copy other people. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what? Just let me look at Twitter, see if they've got anything for us here. Doesn't a good host tell stories? I don't know what this is about. Okay. Anybody got a question who's on the line, or somebody can read Twitter and they can tell me if there's something good up there.
You know,
anybody
on Twitter, just want to say on Twitter, things move so quickly. Sometimes things that are retweeted are sourced to the person who's retweeting as opposed to the original person.
Yeah,
if you read
right.
stuff real quick, you'll think that the person who's retweeting actually said
right.
it.
Right. People will mistake you for a smart person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jessica.
Yes.
Now, did you put – I didn't read your whole book because I didn't want to give it away. I just read the parts that I told you about. So do you advise people on using Twitter short forms in that book?
I mean, we talk about different ways to use Twitter as far as being productive and
short forms. Short forms, abbreviations.
Oh, yeah, no, I have a glossary in the back, Animal.
Okay,
did you include
IB? IB, is IB in there?
It's not in there.
Inspired by?
Yeah, no.
What about HT? What about HT?
I use VIA. I've never used IB.
Hat tip. You know what? If it's VIA, that's confusing. What if you see – here's the whole thing with Twitter. If you see someone's posting, it gives you an idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to say the exact same thing. You might want to say the opposite thing, as I often do. But you want to give them some kind of credit because it's obviously started. The idea obviously started
inspired
with them.
Inspired by.
Yeah.
Like
you have to have IB. You got to have HT. Jerry came up with the FRT, the fake retweet.
Right.
Still tracking. You can track. I have the MRT. I copied from someone else, the modified retweet.
Yes,
these
I like
really
that
buy a book.
See that
these are
all the
very
time.
Important. These are very important. Anyone who's writing the next Twitter book, don't forget them. Don't forget the PSD as well. Okay. Do you do the Follow Friday?
I do.
Okay. And you expect what from that?
It's again, just kind of like the retweet, just saying, hey, these people are important. I like their shoes. Or you know,
okay, forget it. Okay.
Them.
Jerry on Twitter, he said don't quote him, but I'm going to. This is probably maybe we'll pause on Twitter after this because I have tons of Twitter stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
He posted last week or a week or two ago, official statement,
that.
Twitter provides a near zero ROI, return on investment, for most recruiters, but it is quite addictive. Would you agree to that?
In general, yes, but if you use it correctly and you're targeted, it can work for you.
What does that mean?
It means that you can get sucked into this black hole of nothingness, which is Twitter, very
no, no, no.
easily.
Tell us the ROI. How many people are you going to place via Twitter in 1 year if you're doing it right?
Well, it just kind of depends. Right now I have three candidates that I've submitted.
Oh, no. Don't trick us. You've become a third-party recruiter. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but you're recruiting – you're recruiting social media people who are on Twitter, okay? You're not recruiting
recruiters,
too?
Twitter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll do some stuff on the side. It's
Okay. So what about someone who's not recruiting social media people?
You can use tools like FollowerWonk and some others to search bios. It's all about making connections. It might not be the person that you talk to that's going to lend you an opening. It's no different than making phone calls.
Jerry says it's got a near zero ROI for most recruiters. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Okay. Do you have going to tell what kind of ROI people can expect, like how many placements a year?
What if your ROI is based on – knowledge that you gain or connections that you make.
He means money.
Oh my God.
There's an indirect ROI. In other words, it's
going
to be 2 degrees away, 3 degrees away.
Cop up.
But it is increasing your ROI because you're increasing your base knowledge.
But I think it can be more direct than base knowledge. I think you can connect with people. Okay, I don't know why recruiters don't
you know what?
Need that.
One day I'm going to start making you pay a nickel every time you say okay.
You should.
I like what you're saying, Janice. It's about the first level connections. It's the second and third level through Twitter.
But I mean, you take – I'm not going to say this, Animal. You take your friends that you have found, your lifelong friends, okay? I'm sorry. You take your lifelong friends. You can do lifelong business for common purpose with people who are looking for people. We know that. And why recruiters don't – why Jerry, who is very traditional, doesn't know that, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have the patience to do it or the organization to do it. We know that people can connect for friendship, for sale, for all kinds of things. Why is that not seen?
Because that's forward thinking, Janice. They're not worried about the most – current sale right now, you know, whatever the first position, you're not thinking about 6 months in advance. And I think that's the difference between you and maybe Jerry.
Well, Jerry's afraid of being detained at the border, trust me.
Okay, Jerry's not even here.
Now, Jessica, you know, let's talk a bit about your job hunting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talked about the job party, I think it's called. I don't think you called it that, but that's really it. Get me a job party. It's like a rent party. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you can't pay your rent, or in the 30s, they used to have these rent parties. Instead, there's a job party, and you say, host a cocktail mixer at your home or favorite classy bar. Invite friends and ask them to invite a friend. You control the guest list. Obviously, you don't control it because you told somebody else to bring people. And so you control the guest list, and you're sure to meet and welcome. Be sure to meet and welcome each new guest. Make your job search intentions known in a casual and fun atmosphere. Has anyone ever done that? Had a get me a job party?
They happen all the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, pink slip parties, people will host them.
Oh, that's like
camp.
A networking. That's like a networking thing.
That's
come on.
What it is.
No, no,
it's
no, no, no.
Event.
You're talking here. You're backing out of your own stuff.
Oh,
come on.
No.
Shame on you. Shame on you. That's misleading. That says the recruiting animal loses his job. He invites everybody to his favorite bar. It doesn't pay for them. He just invites them there. Hey, come and meet me. I want you to help me. That's essentially it, or maybe to his home, in which case it's a BYOB.
We have done it before here in Oklahoma City. It's not a big deal. You just preface it under, like, chocolate martini night, and you have everybody over, and you let them know that you're looking for a job. It's very easy to do. You meet 20 new friends, and you start your networking.
Okay, so you can't pick one individual who's done that for him or herself, aside from general networking parties, like pink slip parties.
Yeah. You can?
You can name someone? Who?
I'm not going to name him. He's a friend of mine here locally.
Can you name more than one?
Yes.
How many?
Four that I know of.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe you're ahead of the curve. That's what makes you
a
thought leader and a visionary. Okay. Great. Thanks. Is there anything you'd like to bring up now? I mean, I don't want to be like Paul Paris says. You know, I don't give the people a chance to talk, Jessica. I'm going to count to 10.
Animal, we have talked quite a bit. I just think people need to be open to using the new tools and thinking outside the box.
Thanks. You're speaking to the converted here,
yeah,
okay?
No.
Is there anything else that we, the converted, need to know that you can tell us?
Being different, we were going to talk about, I had mentioned to you about my use of sourcing on dating sites. Want to talk about that?
No, I'm not interested in how you met your husband right now, okay? But I want to hear something about you, Jessica Miller Merrill. Which is your real name, Jessica Miller or Jessica Merrill?
My legal name's both. I'm
Maiden,
hyphenated, yes.
Yeah.
What's your kid gonna name call him or herself?
She's Riley Merrill. So yeah.
Merrill, okay. So your name Miller is in the dustbin of history kind of now, right?
Well, it's good for SEO. I'm the only Jessica Miller Merrill, or either way.
Okay, great. Nobody knows how to spell that name, but that's another story. It is poetic, as I said. Now, listen, dear. What does SPHR mean? I don't know.
Senior Professional in Human Resources.
What is that? A designation?
It's a test that you take through the Human Resource Certification Institute that says you know legalese and HR stuff.
Is that good to get?
Yes. Well, it's kind of like the bar exam for HR people.
So I see that's exaggerating it a bit. The bar exam is kind of tough.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you were an HR and recruiting director at Office Max, Home Depot, Lowe's, and Target. So I assume that was their local operations in where? Oklahoma or Kansas? You're from Kansas, right?
I am from Kansas, but I was the HR director for Office Max for it's kind of a regional area.
Okay. What is Office Max? Is it like Business Depot?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Work with the sales division there mostly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and was your focus mainly on recruiting?
I would say, well, we had a lot of challenges in recruiting there. We had
this is what you say.
Turnover.
When you said you help companies build their recruiting strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what you said? What does that mean? What does that mean? Tell us that story.
Well, we sit down and strategize and come up with a different way of using recruiting. Are you using job boards? Are you spending money in areas that aren't working? We look at turnover by position, by method, and what's the average amount of spend by hire. You look at all these things, and you come up with a strategy that might be a little bit unconventional and different.
It sounds like you've got a story about that at Office Max. Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, tell us the story.
Well, we had sales positions, and I think a lot of local companies use, and people who aren't recruiting focused are using tools like movie advertisements, like at the movie theater or signs in different places, or they're spending $120,000 a year at the newspaper and not utilizing social media or networking or word-of-mouth marketing to be able to effectively fill positions. And so that's what we tried to do. We changed our strategy. I created an assessment process to try to open up the position to different kinds of people than just salespeople.
So you changed the profile. So going outside of sales, that's like taking a step down because you're having trouble getting the people you want, right?
Well, we couldn't afford to pay for an outside salesperson coming into maybe an inside sales environment. That's
uh-huh.
not going to work. Their turnover is they're going to leave and go somewhere else, back to pharmaceuticals, making $120,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to look at customer service people that had sales background or an interest, or maybe a bartender that sells for a living in the evenings. Can they work in a sales environment? The assessment
okay.
was tells yes.
So you broaden the talent pool. That's
mm-hmm.
number one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So that's just like I'm doing a search for an outside sales rep, and they want an experienced person, but the money they're offering, the market's showing me I can't get anybody for that money. So now I'm looking for an inside salesperson
mm-hmm.
for whom it would be a step up. That's like making the company drop their standards, but the market demands it. You made them face up to the market. Is that right?
Yeah, they don't like to hear it either. You're probably running into that problem right now.
Yeah, I'm running
into it. They want everything. They want everything, and they want to pay them less and the most qualified
So when
person.
We say they, is that the hiring manager?
Yeah, typically the hiring manager, don't they? They want them for the cheapest rate and the best person.
Okay, so you have stories for us? Like, I want to know, I don't really know what a corporate recruiter's life is like. What's the hardest thing, these stubborn, thick-headed hiring managers?
Yes. Yeah, and you have a different personality and a different person for each position that you're trying to recruit for, and they want certain things. And so navigating that and then trying to build relationships with those people, because they don't trust recruiters. They think that we're a bunch of schmucks that don't know anything
about
the job.
You can't say that on this show.
Wait,
you can't say that on this show.
Yeah, who
in-house?
Is worse? Who's
yeah,
worse?
I disagree with
yeah.
what you just said.
Who's more stubborn, the internal HR or the hiring manager?
Yeah, HR.
Well, if I was the internal HR person, so I managed HR and recruiters, so it's a little bit different for me than I think a typical corporate environment.
My most difficult was thing that I had to face as a corporate recruiter was changing job descriptions and lowering salaries when I was in
yeah.
the middle of a search.
Ugh.
So that came from HR. Not from the hiring manager.
Yeah, they like to make it difficult sometimes.
They do.
Hiring managers are normally needy. They're desperate. And
they want you to hire.
Help.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
ready to help you.
Right.
Especially
yeah,
if
but
you're
what, in-house. What she's saying is that the people inside the company don't really understand the marketplace, even if it's in their own profession.
No.
Is that what you're saying, Jessica?
Yeah, because they think if we're in a recession that I should be able in Oklahoma to fill, 50 positions. The market is not – we're not really in a recession here in Oklahoma specifically or Texas or maybe North Carolina as much as like Chicago or Florida or Detroit. So it's completely different in how you
go
about your recruiting.
So the VP sales is out in an ivory tower there. He reads the paper and he thinks he
yeah.
knows what's happening in the world, but you know better than him, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And as a corporate recruiter, how do you source people? Is it just by these ads in the newspaper or are you at a movie theater?
Of course.
No, that was the problem. I mean, I would prefer to take a more aggressive approach, and, we will mine, but I do email newsletters out to 5,000 people of openings. We'll offer a, like an iPod if you send in a referral. We have I had a solid referral network within the company. We offered $1,000 for position. I mean, there's a lot of other ways to do it in addition to social media. It's just one tool in the arsenal.
Really? Okay, I didn't say social media. We said job boards, right?
Yeah, I don't like job boards. I would
no.
rather not post an ad and waste my money. I'd rather just have mining
ooh,
access. That's
ooh,
me.
So your results from job boards were bad? Is that what you're saying?
I don't. For some positions, yes. I would rather go out and find me a candidate that was passive than active.
How does a corporate recruiter find passive candidates? Through
well,
the newsletter?
They don't have time.
LinkedIn's the first place to go.
Yeah, LinkedIn, but they don't have the time to direct recruit.
Did you have the time?
We made the time.
Okay.
Yeah,
anybody else? Now, there's some new people here. I didn't see them. I just opened up their mics. Anybody want to talk? Anybody want to talk? No, right? Okay, fine. Giving you all the chance. Okay. What do you want to talk about, Jessica?
Let's talk about you, Animal.
Thanks. Thanks. You know what? How did you become a recruiter? I got a million questions, but nobody seems to be turned on by my questions.
I know.
Listen, let me ask you a question. This is a question I want to know. So you get somebody on LinkedIn. What's your cold call to that person? What's your recruiting call?
My recruiting call?
Yeah.
I just call them and, well.
No. What do you say?
What do I say? Hi, this is Jessica with Exceptional HR. I wanted to talk
to you about you were working with the – okay, you can say Exceptional HR. But.
Hi, this is Jessica with blah, blah, blah. I wanted to talk to you about an opportunity as a sales director. Are you interested? I mean, I don't fluff it up. If they're not, or they do, or they have a referral and we go about it.
How do you get the referrals? What do you say then? If they say, no, Jessica, I'm not looking right now, what do you say then?
Do you know anybody that might – be interested in
you're lucky
more
Jerry's
about
not here. You're lucky.
I know he would tear me up, believe me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty casual about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No,
okay.
I know.
Okay. What's your referral rate like?
My referral rate?
Yeah, when you call these guys off LinkedIn and they say, no, I'm not looking right now, I mean, how many of them give you referrals out of 10 people called?
Probably maybe 2 out of 10. I'll get an actual referral call. I'll also use their references to get referrals too.
Oh, the references, their endorsements
references
on their
on
page?
Because
I tell you, the reason I'm bugging them is when you talk about your, you know, what you know from being on the inside of corporations during your show, it's impressive to me. It sounds like you know what you're talking about, and I want you to share some of that insider, corporate recruiter secrets. We're not such stuff that's not secret for you, but that's unknown to us on the outside.
Yeah.
What is it we don't know that we should know?
For recruiters? Be nice to the HR people. I mean, they hate third-party recruiters, and I don't know why, except it's the staffing people. They don't understand that you guys are not staffing agencies. That's the biggest misnomer, is the staffing people come to their office, they try to invite them to lunch, they're always coming over. I would get 3 or 4 calls a day from staffing people. I am better than a staffing person. Third-party recruitters who specialize in
What's the other difference? That's interesting.
Professionals.
Okay, when you say staffing person, what do you mean? Is someone supplying like 100 people at a time?
Yeah, a talent agency that wants to, you know, manpower kind of place. I mean, that's, I think, the biggest misnomer among agencies.
I haven't made it clear. Who are those guys and how are they different from third-party recruiters?
And how are they better?
If you're experienced in an area and you're more professional, you're higher level professional positions, the problem with the manpower is they're hiring industrial welders, and then they're also hiring administrative assistants, and then they're hiring at maybe a accounting manager position. So they're all across the board. And the caliber of people that are coming in are varied, and they're getting them the same way that I would be able to get them, through the newspaper.
Okay. And so a third-party recruiter, you're talking about a headhunter. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and HR people don't understand the difference between the two. Is that right?
I don't think so, no.
I don't
so
think
how would you,
there is a difference.
If you were calling, we'll get to that in a sec, if you were calling a company as a third-party recruiter and making a pitch, how would you do it? Let's say for a plant manager. You've done a search in the Oklahoma area for plant managers, and maybe your search was successful, maybe it wasn't. But the fact is, you know, you've met some good people, and you know you could find more if you had to for the right position.
You're answering the question for her.
No, I'm not. So now you're going to call up a bunch of companies and tell them about yourself. What are you going to say?
Normally, I would already have a relationship within the company to make a referral to the HR person for me or the person that's doing the hiring.
That's what you would do? How
yes.
would you do that?
I would call a friend of mine that works over at XYZ company and say, hey, I noticed you have a manufacturing position. Who do I need to talk to? Who can you send me over?
Okay, that's because you're in HR, so you've got an inside track. But what would you advise other recruiters to do, since you've told us that HR people don't like recruiters?
Already telling you have a
build relationships with the HR people.
No. You mean in advance. Is that what you're saying?
In advance.
Is that what you're saying?
You can. Yeah.
Okay, listen, why is it hard to get that out? I'm just saying, give me your cold call to a company when you're looking for business. Come on.
I have never had to do that because I've always been an HR animal. I've always been on that side.
Well, now you're doing some third-party recruiting for social media people. How do you get the business?
I normally send a Facebook message because they're friends and that I know on Facebook.
Okay.
How long have you been a third-party recruiter? How long have you been doing this?
About a year.
Okay. Are you good at it?
I'd like to think that I am. I don't do it full time because I'm more passionate about other things outside of recruiting, like helping with strategy. But I will fill positions. Like right now I have a couple iPhone developer positions that I'm trying to fill and working on that. But I was contacted by the company to fill the position. That's normally what happens. They seek me out. I don't seek them.
I think it's very important. Just because you're new does not mean that you're not any good at it. And just because someone is working in a staffing agency does not mean they don't have expertise, they are not traditioned in it, and that they are not good at it. I think the same label you are giving the staffing people is what the HR people are giving you, and you shouldn't
agreed.
Do it.
Agreed. That's just my opinion. I do know good staffing people, don't get me wrong, but I could definitely, as an HR person on the inside, you're getting 4 or 5 calls from every staffing agency every day, and it's aggravating. And it's the same sometimes with third-party recruiters too, but it seems to me the staffing agencies are the ones that are calling and they're going to the same networking events, and then they just keep on keeping on.
Yeah. I just started telling them that the fee that I would pay you pays my salary. You know, this is my budget, and I'm not going to give you my salary. So this is what my company pays me to do.
Yeah,
so I appreciate your interest, but I just don't have the extra funds to pay you unless I want to go hungry. So
it's kind of a good answer, though, if you think about it.
How can you can't rebut that.
No, that's why it's a good answer.
Yeah, you can say I'll drop my fee.
No.
But Jerry doesn't
they're
recommend
not
that
do
we
that.
Do that.
Yeah,
Jerry doesn't recommend
your
it. Okay,
no,
last question. If somebody's got a question, area code 260, is that Jerry?
That's me.
Yay.
Oh, boy.
Wahoo.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
hey,
Jerry.
Thank you, everybody.
Are you in the jury right now?
No, we came to a verdict.
Yeah.
And I left. I called in a little bit ago, and you wouldn't take my call, man.
Oh, you know what? I'm busy. I wasn't looking. There's somebody else just called in as well. Okay. Sorry. Do you want to do the after show? It's time for it.
Yeah, I'll do the after show just to find out what the show was about.
Okay, we're going to go to Jerry's after show. Jessica, thank you very much for being my guest.
Hello.
Hey. Who all's here?
Ran.
Hey, Ran.
Janice.
Hey, Janice. How's it going?
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Jeff Lipschultz is here.
It's
hey, Jerry.
Jessica.
Happy birthday.
You want me on, Jerry?
Jessica.
Who asked that?
That's Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. What show did I miss? What was the high point?
Jessica, you should stay.
Okay,
yeah,
I will.
Definitely stay.
Yeah.
Jessica
what was the high point of the show?
Well, Jessica was talking about her book and about Twitter quite a bit, which you would have found very fascinating, I'm sure. And
yeah,
about
I do.
her new launch, Texting for Jobs, which launched yesterday. So.
Cool. How's that going?
Good. We are meeting with plenty of job seeker groups to try to fill our database. That's the hard part.
Getting people
Animals.
Signed up. For the text. I would think that texting is a lot more efficient and targeted than tweeting out to the universe.
I'm surprised that people haven't thought of this. We're the only group in the U.S. that has so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
I talked to Michael Marlatt this week. Or
Michael Marlatt, please.
Yeah.
Hey, Jessica, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have kind of branded yourself Blogging for Jobs,
mm-hmm.
right? And Texting for Jobs has the 4 in it. Now, I haven't seen your book, but when you tweet this, Tweeting for Business,
mm-hmm.
did you make the 4, the number 4?
No, I should have.
You should have done that to continue to carry your brand through.
I know. Well, I didn't, you know. I'm kind of spur of the moment. That's my problem. I need a branding expert for me. You know, it's hard to look at yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was there any controversy? Any controversy in the show?
Most of the controversy came from what people thought you would think of what she was saying.
Yeah, like my call, which was horrible, I know.
That's kind of, what did people think that I would have said? That's interesting.
Well, Animal said you would have ripped her apart, so.
Really?
Yeah. See,
I don't rip anybody apart.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, mm-hmm?
Mm-hmm.
I know.
She gave an example of a recruiting call to a company. And
yeah, no.
And it was a pretty traditional. I was sitting here thinking, wow, we did it that way a long time ago. This business hasn't changed. And then he said, I didn't say anything. He said, Jerry should have. You're lucky Jerry's not here. That's what she said.
I've heard Jerry's version of the call. So yeah,
he's.
But he's much more sales oriented than I am. For sure.
Well, you know what's good about Jerry? We'll talk about him with him here. Jerry, I'm a real fan. It's very calculated in everything he
says.
Absolutely. And it's brilliant. It's just, it's
question for question.
You got it. I mean, every word, but with a very sincere delivery, a very, you know, nice down-to-earth delivery. I think it's great.
Well, thanks, Janice. I try not to be, like, you know, so scripted that every word is calculated. But, I mean, I just think it's important to understand what your question is and what somebody's answer to that is and what they both mean and all that. I mean, it's not really that complicated, I don't think.
Well, there's some kind of, and this is interesting because Jess told us she's just been in it a year, in the third party a year. Are you going to True USA? I don't think we can make it, but he's got a track where I'd be there in a heartbeat.
I heard Jerry speak before at Recruit Fest, and he did a very, very good job.
Yeah.
It was very good, but I won't be at True USA.
Can I ask you a question, Jerry? What kind of fist fight did you have with Lefkowitz? I've wanted to know that from the last show.
No, it wasn't an actual fist fight. It was, you know, back in my early years in recruiting, I was kind of a smart ass, maybe.
No.
Can I say ass on the after show? Ass is no longer a cuss word, is it?
No.
I think it is.
No, I don't think ass is. They say it on TV.
If you ask my mother, it is. So.
It's not. Well, I don't think so today, and I'll tell you why. Because they're advertising it in the movie title.
Okay.
Yeah. If you can say it on TV, it's not a cuss word.
It's not one of
the things. That's where I go with it. But we had brought in Pete Lefkowitz, and he's a very talented guy. And I was feeling pretty good. I had a bunch of send-offs going on. I was making placements. And I think the task was to write down, you know, three things that you would like to do or something like that. And my answer was really just kind of just from a smart-ass kid's perspective. And he really took offense to it. Like I was challenging his role as a mentor. And I was, it could have been. I think I was before thought leadership came out of the closet.
Were you dissing his presentation in the middle of his presentation? That's my question.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then.
And then in front of everybody, he more or less said that he's seen a bunch of hot shots like me, and I really need to decide whether I want to be in this profession or be a rock star, or, you know, something like that.
How long ago is that?
20 years ago. 20 years ago.
Okay.
But Jerry, we went to see him. He can be that way. You know that.
Oh, he's cocky. I mean, absolutely.
He's not warm and fuzzy.
He's extremely cocky.
But
he's good. You know, he's good.
Yeah, he's good. And frankly, a lot of this, you know, some of these trainers, I mean, they've just been able to take the obvious, which is not obvious to everyone, and they kind of make it their own, and so a lot of my approach might be kind of that Lefkowitz, you know, adapted to my own style kind of stuff. So I owe him a lot, frankly.
Well, that's the reason I asked you because when I hear you explain how you do what you do, it reminds me of him. We're real fans of his, but again, he's not necessarily warm and fuzzy, but but man, he knows his stuff. He really knows how to. I mean, we went to a seminar with him, and he made a call during the seminar and got himself a job order. I mean, it was really good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
In real
uh-huh.
time.
Yeah, he's got a lot of. He was one of the guys that just took the stuff that everybody really just you just should know all of these things,
yep.
and made it seem practical for just about anybody to get on the telephone and do. I've seen some of the stuff over the years that I would, you know, question, you know, like I wouldn't do, but yeah, he's a good guy. He's a real good guy.
Well, that brings up a good question too. We should talk about this on a show sometime, on a show. Can anybody, if you just give them things to say, be a recruiter?
No. No, because it's sales.
Not anybody can be a salesman. Yeah, there's a lot of sales. I have a question for you, Jerry. Now, you obviously do the question-for-question tactic.
Rayanne?
It's Rayanne. Hey. And do you ever engage in personal conversation? Because that's kind of my tactic. I start off with making a connection before I dive into what I really want. And so I'm wondering, do you just keep it very above board, non-personal, just trying to find out who they are, or do you engage with them personally in order to create a level of comfort and ease with the candidate, or do you just dive right in?
The chit-chatty...
Yeah.
How's the weather?
I don't do how's the weather. I find a connection.
How about the Cubs?
Like,
I see you're in Chicago. How are they doing this year?
I mean, that kind of thing. I love Chicago. You know, if I find out somebody's been in Chicago, I go on about Chicago and make that connection. Or
I think ladies can do that a lot more easy than guys can.
Okay.
I mean, guys don't want to just chit-chat with some dude.
Okay.
That
makes sense.
You know, I mean, it would seem kind of contrived.
It's a business, what do you want, right?
But, I talk about all kinds of stuff with people once we're connected and everything.
Okay.
Sure. But the first couple of minutes of me introducing myself to somebody is usually letting them know who I am, what I do, and
yeah, you're
find
not
out about
who
they
you
are.
Represent or what, or where it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, cool.
Oh, yeah, I was in jury duty today. That's rather interesting, yesterday and today.
Hmm. Big trial, murder trial?
Yeah.
No, a guy was making crystal meth in an apartment complex, almost burned the place down.
Oh, of course.
So he's an entrepreneur. He's got a job.
Can he make a call?
Yeah, he's pretty much a drug addict, and we convicted him, and he didn't even seem to care.
Of course he didn't.
No.
I'm sure it's third strike, so.
Have you guys ever been on a jury?
No.
I was going to ask you about that. I'm surprised that you did not get dismissed, being that you are, the sole provider.
Did you want to be
dismissed?
No. Why would I not want to do my duty to serve my
I've gone into jury duty twice, and because my ex-husband is a police officer, I've been both times.
Yeah, because you're biased towards.
That's what they assume.
But
he's
your
ex-husband. Know that my ex-husband is a total idiot. So
see,
he's
your ex-husband.
Right.
Yeah,
but it didn't matter. They assume that you're.
Oh,
they assume
deaf?
That you're.
Yeah, and they disqualified all those people. They must have gone through. Oh, probably 40 people to find the 14 jurors. And then two of those, when they sent us back to deliberate,
they're
two of them were then named as alternates, yeah.
Right.
I got to be the foreman.
Ah, cool.
Of course you did.
Yeah,
ah, cool.
That would be funny if Animal was the foreman.
Oh, no, that wouldn't be funny. That would be dangerous.
He'd be live.
You know, the interesting thing was...
What's your vote? Can you hear them in there?
Yeah. Wrong.
I mean,
wrong.
We kind of went back and forth on it because they didn't really have a bunch of very specific evidence, but you're supposed to look at everything in its total body and use common sense It was rather interesting. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we all decided that.
Ooh, you said that.
You know, even if this particular case wasn't absolutely nailed down, this guy's a drug dealer. He hangs out with drug dealers, and none of us will be losing any sleep tonight wondering, did we convict an innocent man?
Mm-hmm.
See, here they make crystal meth all over the place. It's like destroying our community.
Right.
Like everywhere.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
Are you Fort Wayne? Are you in Fort Wayne or close?
Yeah, north of there.
How far?
23 miles from the north side of town.
There you go. Then I know where you are.
I know how to make crystal meth now. It's actually pretty easy.
Great.
Well, they do it in a Gatorade.
Jerry has a new side business that he will be tweeting.
Oh, no.
Use Twitter.
Jessica, are you there? Can you help him?
I am sure to help him.
Tweet for meth.
No,
it's
the numeral 4.
There
Jessica,
you go.
Do you have that in Oklahoma? Same kind of problem?
Oh, any Midwest state you do. I worked in Kansas for Target, and we actually went through meth training by the police. They tell you what products you look for combined when somebody's purchasing.
I have to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
Do you watch Saving Grace?
No.
Okay.
No, but I know. I mean, it's an Oklahoma-based show. So yeah, I mean, I know some of the people who help produce and write it.
Okay.
But no.
Cool.
Mm. Pulling my boat down the highway. I just picked it up.
I know that you are not like the big Twitter for ROI guy, but you have been missed on Twitter this week. Just so you know.
Oh well, thank you. I find myself just gradually not having much time to spend there. I'm just too busy.
Busy. That's good. That's good news.
Yeah. And now, believe me, if Twitter was the place that I was getting my results from, I'd be all over the place. You know, I mean, whatever the facts may be, I've made a lot of friends there and stuff. And it's pretty cool, but.
Well, and this is what we talked briefly about, and my point about Twitter. I may not be placing people from Twitter, but I think that I have gained confidence, I've gained knowledge, I've gained connections through the use of Twitter that increases my ROI in the end. So,
but how much of that, how many of those links can you follow and helpful tips and surveys? See,
I rarely click through. I'm just talking about the snippets of information that you can get and the connections that you can make that can lead to just doing your job better. I don't mean lead to finding the right candidate, but just help you do your job better and to do it with more confidence.
Yeah, most of the stuff I don't even care about anyway, you know, people's random thoughts and, you know, hopeful stuff for the day. And now you've got Foursquare, which that's just driving me over the edge.
I agree.
I really don't care. I mean, it's just I can see where if somebody's selling you know, sandwiches at half off or something, they might want to use Foursquare or something like that, or get a discount code if you're at Cedar Point, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But you know, it's just more and more having very little to do with the way that I approach recruiting. So
I think
you're
hearing the transaction too. We have restaurants around here that utilize, to go back to that example, that utilize tweeting to tweet out, you know, a special or a reminder of, you know, a special. The transaction between, you know, going and grabbing a Coney dog and making a placement or finding a candidate is so different.
It is.
That, you know.
Yeah.
I think other examples could be utilized. I think it could start the thing, you know, the momentum, but it's not going to directly, you know, result in this.
But if I were looking, tell me where I'm wrong. If I were looking for a ceramics engineer, okay?
I love telling people why they're wrong. I love it.
No, but
get rid of it.
Because I don't get it, okay? If I were looking for a ceramics engineer and I paid my teenage granddaughter to tweet that out maybe every couple of hours or three times a day or something, okay? And I've got a lot of followers, and I encourage people to retweet it, okay? You know, somebody might know somebody that might contact me, and what if I lost? You know, give her a couple bucks to tweet it out.
Well, I'd rather give her a couple bucks to call somebody that's a ceramics engineer. It's such a random chance. I mean, you may as well go throw a bunch of business cards out at the Walmart on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, it's just not as targeted. Now, texting, though, I can see where if people wanted to sign up to get text, I mean, they're saying, hey, send me some stuff. And everybody reads every text that they get.
Mm-hmm.
I probably read one out of 500 tweets that flies by my screen.
Right.
I mean, people just aren't seeing them. I mean, they're just not seeing it.
So, you've had a bad experience. It's Rayanne. You've had a bad experience with a split partner. Did that split partner come to you through Twitter?
No.
Okay.
I met them on one of the recruiting blogs, not to name anything in particular, but a recruiting blog.
How is that going, by the way? You get your money?
I got an email from her today. It kind of heated up again last week, with her now saying that, well, she knew of this candidate from 2007,
and how much
do I think that she even owes me, and, you know, so I then sent her back a series of probably 20 emails back and forth, starting with my original introduction of the candidate, all of my recruiter's notes from talking to her, you know, and all that stuff. Then with 6 or 8 different emails from her saying, hey, you know, help me with this offer. Does this look right? Well, we're going to charge the fee based on that. I mean, it was a preponderance of evidence showing that we worked together on this candidate. And then another dozen emails from her saying, hey, I'm still waiting on the checks. I've got some other invoices out. I'll pay you when I can. Yeah, I mean, it's,
you're just going to out her. I mean,
so I got an email today that she said, well, she's no longer using that old email address. Which,
of course not.
Yeah, you know how we all like to abandon our established email addresses
every 10 years. Especially an established recruiter, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Right.
And she said she's no longer using that. She's sick of this. We obviously have a difference of opinion on what constitutes a fair. Frankly, I'm unaware of any other kind of split placements.
Yeah.
But she said she will be sending me either 1 or 2 checks. She's not sure when. Don't ask.
Yeah, that's a legal move, man. If she's that vague, that's a statement of intention. That's why she did that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got about 200 of those.
Right.
Yeah, she's obviously just in a bad place, you know, a bad situation. And
bottom line is she got paid and she spent your money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. So she spent your money.
Will you divulge which state this person's in?
I'd rather not.
Okay.
You know?
Is she telling me that people are going to know if you mention her name? I mean, people are going to know this girl?
I wouldn't ask him to do that. I just want to know if she's in Ohio.
No, she's not in Ohio.
Because we could get her for you.
Yes, I'm done expending my energy on it. I've...
No, you're not.
Talk about return on investment. Yes, I am. That's why I'm saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's so crummy, everybody keeps asking you about it, too.
That's ridiculous.
Because,
I've never...
No,
never
because it's somebody's out there among us. It's a thief among us.
Right.
You know, and we want to know who it is. So
but
we
it's
don't
extremely
work
painful,
her.
Too. It's a horrible thing to do to somebody.
There is a certain amount of obligation on Jerry's end to put a stop to it one way or the other because she's going to go screw somebody else.
Exactly.
Like, you know,
I mean, that's my point.
You know, shame on you, that kind of thing.
If she said it to you, if she would do this to Jerry, who's very influential and well-known in the industry.
I'm well-known. I doubt my level of influence, but that can be.
You know what you ought to do is you ought to call up Lefkowitz and ask him what he'd do.
Yeah, do it.
Well, I did call another professional and ask them what they would do, and they would have already taken it further than I have,
yeah.
and they would have already published all the stuff. And I would certainly just rather not, you know. It's just not
of
not
course,
something I'm into.
Of course, because it's attaching your name to mud, of course. Mm. But she needs to fess up. And if she's not going to pay you, she needs to come out and say, hey, I'm not going to pay you, instead of dragging this thing on and on and
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And you know, the bottom line is she's going to
yeah.
do this to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I think that this person is far enough off the deep end, just from what I can tell about, you know, sizing up people and stuff, that I doubt that she's going to be a big factor in anybody's lives over the next couple of years, you know. I don't know. I was checking out the new horn on my boat. It's $29. Just picked it up from the marina. Ready to go to Lake Erie.
A new whore on your boat? For $29, you got a whore for your boat? Horn.
No, you get those at Put In Bay.
It's the same one on
so
my name is Earl.
You go there too, huh?
Is it the same one on my name is Earl? You guys have ever watched it?
I like Put In Bay.
I've never been there, but now I have a boat that'll finally get me out there. So
oh, that's a fun place.
It's a recruiting animal. I'm
hey.
Back. Nick
Livingston.
Is it Nick in Livingston? He was on the show, on your after show a week or two ago, right? He says here, it's painful to listen to folks, I would never say folks, painful to listen to people with 30 years in recruiting talk about how Twitter is useless. That's a slap in your face, pal.
Hey, that's all right. I encourage everyone to help me change my opinion and results from my time spent on Twitter. Right now I'm looking for an accountant in Milwaukee. That'd be a cost accountant with about 3 years in a manufacturing environment. I'm looking for two plant managers, upwardly mobile MBA types with, say, 5 to 8 years leadership in a plant for a client in Missouri. Look at, oh, my cat's getting in my truck. Get out of there. Hey.
This is how he talks to his clients, too.
That's the one for $29.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So, yeah. If I were a corporate Twitter person, I would have a whole different approach to using Twitter. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my time would be dedicated, a certain amount of my day would be all about Twitter. But for a regular third-party recruiting guy,
Who doesn't get paid unless he makes a placement, right?
Yeah, I mean, sure, if I were following an entire group of targeted people, that'd be a whole different story. However, I'm hanging out with all you guys.
I
want to
know how old Nick is that asked that question. I think it's disgusting that he would disgrace the industry by asking that question.
He's one of the main recruiters at MTV.
Oh, well, there you go.
Rock on!
Rock on,
no, he's a cool guy. I mean, if I were a corporate guy, I would have a whole different Twitter approach.
Sure.
Absolutely. You know, but I'm not. And a bunch of engineers aren't going to follow me. And if they do, they're not even reading the stuff, you know.
Well, and see, that's the thing. The market you're working, okay, you're questioning whether they even will see Twitter if you start tweeting stuff out. I think isn't that your point?
Yeah,
my
pretty much.
Show up. Okay, I'll buy that.
Well, that's what I've always said, is it depends on what you're recruiting for. I mean,
yeah.
if you're recruiting for a recruiter,
but
you're going to find one on Twitter, right?
But there's that piece of us, and especially because, Rayanne, so many of us follow each other, okay? You take people like Jeremy and myself. We are working with manufacturing people, okay? And, you know, if, Jerry, you'll write down what you just said and stick it in an email to us, okay? We just got 35 of them. All
right,
I mean, we, you know, I think we may have sent you a person. And so what? I mean, you can use them, you can't use them, so what?
Yeah, I'm into it.
But
I
think that's... If I do a profile search on you, I'll see all your tweets. And if you have tweeted out a bunch of job openings, okay, don't have to mention the title, the city, and the state, or the title and the state.
Yep.
I think that would be very good.
Yeah, but see, it's mixed in with all my, you know,
sandwich commentary and fish,
the problem,
fishing pictures.
The horn and
well,
the,
you know, then you get yourself a new stream. You get yourself
like,
a new account.
Yeah,
really
then you're
that.
Doing
no,
then you're
then
doing
you
multiple profiles.
Duplicity.
And that's the,
yeah, duplicity.
Jerry, just back. I just opened up 212. I think that's Livingston.
Hey,
uh-oh.
It's Nick. Hey, it's Nick Livingston.
Oh, MTV,
hey,
rock on.
Hey guys, that wasn't a fierce jab. I just there's a lot that's changing in the industry, and I think using it the right way,
well,
it could even
saying.
Help you find that manufacturer in Des Moines.
You want to be the guest next week on my show? You can tell us all about it. You want to be the guest? Will they let you?
I don't know if they'll let me.
Okay, forget it. You can tell Jerry now.
But I'm just saying, you don't just have to tweet outward. You know, you can tweet towards groups, you can tweet towards individuals, you can tweet towards mutual followers, and it doesn't have to just be outward. It can be interactive.
I don't know Jerry. I know it's your show, but I don't understand a thing he's saying. You don't have to tweet outward. You don't have to tweet outward. What's that mean?
You can tweet outward, but you can tweet towards people directly.
Absolutely, a hashtag stuff like that.
Yeah, hashtags towards groups, and there's people that follow hashtags. There's people that
sure.
may be interested in
what. Yeah, but that's the only people you're going to be tweeting to are the ones that are actually following the hashtags. That's Jerry's point.
Okay, so that's a small group, right? And that's people that you wouldn't find on the phone. That's people that you wouldn't find by posting a job. Yeah, it's not necessarily
yeah.
the only thing you should do, but it is a powerful tool, and we're still trying
tool.
To figure out the ways to use it. So.
I've always found that people that follow hashtags are a whole lot more determined and committed to the subject that they're interested in following. So, I mean, that's
right.
exactly why they have a hashtag.
Right.
Right, and that's only probably, 5 to 10% of even Twitter users that really take advantage of hashtags. And if you're looking for industry experts in manufacturing, you find one or two of them that may be in on the Twitter sphere. You get them involved and them to retweet your jobs, and they may have 50 of people that are interested in them, and you know you have a targeted audience.
That is what I was saying.
So it's
yeah. Yeah. Are they going to have 50 people? Are they going to have 50 people in manufacturing on Twitter?
They may not, but
no,
if you're
but
looking
they may
for
know
a,
them.
If you're looking for an MBA in manufacturing in Des Moines, you can search anyone in that zip code that maybe referenced the term MBA business and go from there. I mean, it's one extra lead.
Hey, people are looking for jobs. You can go from the Twitter stream to the telephone. Hey, I just saw an opening for a manufacturing manager.
Exactly.
Okay?
Or
and
an
here,
email.
Here it is.
You know, they can send it out to their, if they belong to an organization where a bunch of manufacturing leaders
sure.
hang out,
that's
yeah,
they can
you
send
know,
it out to their email list.
That's that second and third degree benefit
right.
where, and that's what Janice is saying, that we have a
don't
whole plan.
Don't call your mom Janice,
just,
okay? Don't call your mom Janice.
All right.
I don't care if this is your
I don't like
show.
That. I don't like that.
That's
I'm with you, animal.
That's what my mom is saying is that you know we just took under our wings 32 mid-level managers coming out of a manufacturing facility. They're not on Twitter, but if I'd have known about Jerry's openings, that's the second degree there. You know, had he told me, I'd have put it over there to see who's interested in going to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, all I have to draw on is my own experience, and I just haven't. Decided, okay, I'm going to ditch all these HR cronies, and I'm going to build a list of targeted Twitter, follow targeted Twitter people. I just haven't done it. That is just not the quickest route for me to connect with people in my field. And I'll still say, I think Twitter is really cool. I mean, it really is.
I think
but jumping on the bandwagon as if. If you don't do this, then you're missing out. That's the absurdity.
Absolutely.
I think you tend to be a set in your ways guy, and that may be what's preventing you from doing this. And especially for I'm a 63-year-old grandmother.
Who dooted you?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta say, you gotta admit,
my point is that whatever's new. We need to at least look at and try. Doesn't work, give it up.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it. Yeah.
You know, there's no point. It's got to be easier for corporations or those with strong brands to use some of these tools. But with that said, if you do have a niche and you're an expert at finding manufacturing talent, then you know about that industry and you could help provide best practices, tips to those in the field looking. You could help them and do a daily tip, a daily blog, a daily shout-out, giving those in the industry a heads-up. You may create that niche, and people start following you directly. They'll look to you as the manufacturing jobs guy.
I have a question.
Oh, Jerry, you could be a guru, Jerry.
Here's the thing. If I had anything valuable to tell a manufacturing guy, then I certainly would. But let's face it, I'm just a guy with a job wreck, and it may be different tomorrow. I don't have tips for Oracle DBAs or Java. I don't have any tips for anybody.
You always throw out that term that you're always looking for manufacturing folks, and it's why these technologies don't work for you. So I'm saying, if you have that niche, you know what works in that industry. You know what gets that guy the job versus that guy. You know, those are some tips you can throw out there and start to build your following. You know?
Do they have Twitter in Milwaukee?
And it doesn't have to be Twitter. It doesn't have to be Twitter, but it's a voice. Everybody can publish these days. Everybody has a voice on the internet, and they can do so with little technology. So,
I think for me, social media and social networking. Yeah, I do find a lot of value in recruiting in some of these other different places. It's just that they've lumped Twitter in with this whole social media, and that's the way to go. If the discussion was about everything other than Twitter, I'd be right there with you. LinkedIn is awesome.
Exactly. It's just the hottest. It's a microblog. It's niche. It's what's hot right now. Who knows what's going to happen with it? But you got to admit, all this information, you know, the public Twitter timeline, it's just more information than we've ever had at our fingertips. And, you know, we're still trying to figure out what to do with it.
Well, you know, part of the reason we like it is because it kind of reminds me of the burger place we all used to go to see who was there. We show up. I know I do. If I'm off for a while, I need to go back in and see what's happening. I need to see who's been talking to who. And I mean, which is a total non-business application. And maybe, you know, are we trying to find good reasons to use something, you know, that
just another
because we
way
enjoy
to
it?
Engage with other people, too.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
Do you guys ever check out the trending topics?
Yeah.
And look into some of the more urban discussions on there?
I never, you know what? I have a couple times and that was
check it out.
Because it wasn't
check it out. It is complete trash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's shocking. I think it's pretty amazing.
Well, I only did it a couple times. Speaking of which, though, do you think I could find my mom a boyfriend on Twitter?
Would you stop
that? Oh, my Lord.
All right.
What are you looking for?
If you can find a manufacturing, if you can find a ceramics engineer on Twitter, you can certainly find Janice a boyfriend.
There you go.
Let's work on it now.
Tweet it.
Cool.
Hello.
Isn't that what MN Headhunter's doing?
Yeah.
Isn't that
absolutely.
What MN Headhunter's doing?
It's human trafficking.
Looking for a wife?
Absolutely.
You'll pay for that.
Absolutely.
I think Twitter's a lot about influence. I mean, I've gotten a lot of speaking engagements, and people have said, here, fill this position, or can you help us with this because of Twitter? It has ROI, but not always to fill a position right away.
That was my point.
Not direct.
That's cool. Hey, Janice, have you considered maybe just connecting with Animal on a weekend or anything up there?
it's an hour flight to Toronto and back.
Wow.
Would you pay for an Animal?
I love Animal from afar.
But they throw you in one of those Indiana Jones propeller planes. You're not going to like it.
No.
I'm not looking, guys. I'm not hiring. Or if I want one, maybe I will hire one.
Jerry, what are you doing for your birthday, man?
Thank you.
I am going to, believe it or not, I'm going to get a couple of job orders here as soon as I get my boat off the truck and safely in the barn, and get a couple of job orders and follow up on a client that's putting together an offer for an engineer in Wausau, Wisconsin. And as soon as I can wrap that up, I'm going to sit in my hot tub with a cocktail.
I was waiting for that. We'll be thinking of 5 o'clock, Jerry.
Make it around 3 o'clock.
We sang happy birthday to you, Jerry, at the top of the show, so you'll have
to
go back.
I got to go back to work. Get us your job orders. Jessica, do the same thing.
Are we no longer voting on the show? I mean, is that done? Are we not rating the shows anymore?
We can do that.
Yeah, I'd like to. I don't have a notepad handy.
Okay.
Can you guys all DM me your source?
Yeah, we'll DM it. Oh wait, on Twitter?
Yeah.
I gotta run, guys. See you later.
All right,
bye.
Happy
birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. See you all later. Take it easy.
Later.
Enjoy the day.
Later, man. Bye.